Crusade Channel News. News you can trust, because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon, Crusaders. This is Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Thursday, December 21st, 2017, the first day of winter and my parents' 49th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. 19 pedestrians were injured in a deliberate car ramming this morning. Then I'll have your stock market report and saint of the day. The founder of the Women's March is being exposed as a sexual abuse enabler, and an Israeli farmer's farm smells like heaven. This morning during rush hour in Melbourne, Australia, a man of Afghan descent plowed his white SUV into a crowd of pedestrians at rush hour. However, as usual, his motive is not known. We turn to ABC News foreign correspondent James Longman.
Police are saying they still have no clear idea on motive, although the suspect's mental health issues are being raised. Whatever his reasons, this is yet another deadly attack in a major Western city.
The white SUV plowed through crowds as they crossed this busy street, barreling across an intersection filled with pedestrians. At least 19 injured, several of whom are in critical condition. A preschool-aged child rushed to the hospital with a head wound.
At this stage, we believe it is a deliberate act. Can I repeat that? At this stage, we believe it is a deliberate act. However, we do not know the motivation.
Witnesses say the SUV ran through red lights, veered onto rail tracks before seemingly deliberately taking aim at those going about their day.
I saw people running, turned around, saw people just scattered on the road. Some of them were just non-responsive. He made a collision with the people, but he also made a collision with obviously a pole or like a curb, lost control of the vehicle, it crashed. I saw a man getting arrested outside of the Jeep, maybe 30 years old.
They say the perpetrator is of Afghan descent with a history of mental illness. One witness posting this video saying this is the man who rammed into pedestrians.
There was one sole person in the car. That was the driver. That's the offender we have in custody. And there was also another 24-year-old male in close proximity around that time, was seen filming the incident with his mobile phone and also had a bag that had possession of some knives in it. He was taken into custody to determine whether he was in fact connected with the incident. At this stage, we don't believe that to be the case.
It's just really scary, obviously.
The area still on lockdown.
I heard what I thought was shots. Cars just run straight through the crowd.
A similar incident took place just around the corner from here in January. That killed six people. As a result, concrete blocks were installed to prevent these sorts of car attacks, but they didn't manage to stop this one.
And now it's time for your business and market report. Cryptocurrency is all the rage, and a Singapore cafe is capitalizing on its popularity. Reuters' Ciara Lee has more.
Singapore, a hub for financial technology in Asia. But the booming global interest in cryptocurrencies means it has to walk a fine line between encouraging innovation and reducing risks. Just a street away from the central bank, a new cafe has opened. Ducata's cafe claims to be the first in the country to be owned and operated by a business promoting its own digital coin. It offers coffee and sandwiches in exchange for Bitcoin, its own virtual currency Ducatus, as well as other cashless payment types.
We just want to make sure that people understand that cryptocurrencies are here to stay. I don't think that is a question. The way technology develops and goes right now, there's no doubt about it. Developments are rapid.
The venture comes as the Monetary Authority in Singapore urges investors to exercise extreme caution towards cryptocurrencies. Some fear the Bitcoin bubble bursting amid a recent surge in value.
At some point, those investors who are in there, who want to speculate and make money, are going to move away from that because they just can't do it quickly enough. And I think that'll be the first tipping point. The second one will be when we don't make more progress on connecting it with the retail world.
Bitcoin's risen around 1,700% this year and nearly 80% this month alone. And some believe it might have further to go. So too do the plans for Ducatus. It wants to open cafes in other countries and team up with hotels and travel agencies.
Now here's Reuters' David Pollard reporting on the reaction of the markets to the passage of the Republicans' tax reform bill.
Donald Trump's tax cut is, he claims, big and beautiful, but the market reaction so far has been rather small and plain.
And this is not a new deal. It's not like it's come up over the course of the past couple of days. This has been priced into markets for the past 3 months or so.
The yeas are 224 and the nays are 201.
European shares followed Wall Street and Asian bourses lower in reaction to the $1.5 trillion tax bill. Congress's final approval coming despite still fierce opposition.
What a disgrace. It is something dramatically opposite of what America needs. There is no reason for a single middle-class family to pay more while every single corporation pays less.
Bond markets saw yields spike on expectations of more U.S. debt issuance to pay for it and higher inflation as a result of it. Traders focused on corporate performance, though, see huge rewards ahead from a corporate tax rate slashed from 35 to 21% for U.S. firms and for European firms that sell into the U.S. It's estimated more than a sixth of companies in the pan-European Stoxx 600 index get more than a third of their revenues from North America.
The crucial thing that will drive markets forward in 2018 will obviously be what companies decide to do with their new windfalls, whether they decide to actually pay it out to workers or whether they just simply decide to reinvest it in share buybacks and boost the share prices as a result.
And 2018 crucial for Donald Trump. With less than a year to go before midterm elections, the US president under pressure to make this flagship bill work too for blue-collar America, his core voters.
Now let's see how the market is performing today. The Dow Jones was up 104 points in early afternoon trading at 24,830. The NASDAQ was up 20 points at 6,981. And the S&P 500 was up 9 points at 2,689. Crude oil was up 16 cents at $58.25 a barrel. In the world markets, the Japanese Nikkei closed down 26 points and the Hong Kong Hang Seng closed up 134. The London FTSE 100 closed up 80 and the DAX in Germany closed up 41. Today's quote of the day comes from G.K. Chesterton. To have a right to do a thing is not at all the same as to be right in doing it. Coming up next after the break in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor St. Thomas. You're listening to Crusade News.
You've all heard the expression, he'd give you the shirt off his back. Well, if that shirt was a King Dude original, it'd actually have meaning and not be something Huma Abedin says about Hillary. My latest includes Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal and the Mike Church Show 25th Anniversary Tee and Polo shirt. And I've got you covered in sizes small through 4X Fat Bastard. Update your sartorial stash today by browsing to MikeChurch.com/shirts. And I'll throw in a freebie from our out-of-print bin. Your King Dude haberdashery awaits at MikeChurch.com/shirts or call 844-5-CRUSADE.
Born in the first century, Thomas was one of the 12 apostles and was given the name Didymus, which means the twin. Thomas speaks a few times in the Gospel of St. John, first in chapter 11, where after Lazarus' death, he encourages the apostles to accompany Jesus back to Judea, saying, quote, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And again in chapter 14, where Jesus explains that he is preparing a home for his followers who will join him there, and Thomas responds, quote, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas is most famous for his moment of doubt after the resurrection in John chapter 20, where he says, quote, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And having the opportunity to do so, exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." After the ascension, St. Thomas sailed to India around the year 50 and established the church there, spreading the faith until his martyrdom by the spear in December of the year 72. St. Thomas the Apostle, pray for us. The irony of ironies, the founder of the Infernal Women's Feline Hat March last January, Muslim Sharia law promoting Linda Sarsour, is being accused of enabling sexual harassment by former co-worker Azmi Fathelbab. Mrs. Fathelbab spoke with Fox News' Martha McCallum last night.
Azmi joins me now here on the set. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. I know this isn't easy, right?
No.
She's coming after you.
Yeah.
How does that play out in your life?
I'd like to say it's the usual thing that she would do. Just come at me for what I'm saying is happening.
She says that it was nothing what happened to you. What do you say?
I say it was something, and I did tell her several times what was happening, and she just brushed it off.
And were you as specific as Trace just explained
yes.
it in there? So you specifically said that about the way that he was rubbing up against you?
Yes.
And what did she say to you at the time?
One of her comments actually was something like, that doesn't happen to someone that looks like you.
And what did she mean by that?
Well, I mean, I don't fit her, I guess, physical persona of someone being harassed.
So you, that's what you're referring to when you say
yeah.
that she was body shaming you. And
yes.
she says that's ridiculous. That never happened. What is it like going, you know, I want to put the tweet up that that Trace just mentioned, because I thought it was very moving. You put this out. You say, so to be clear, everyone has the right to state their Me Too story, but me. Politics has more say than actual sexual harassment and abuse. If I stand up against Linda Sarsour, I am a bad Muslim or against Islam. You all realize that you are just reenacting what I have been through. This is your yeah. response to what's happening to you on Twitter. It's not just her. There's an army of people who support her that are coming after you, right?
Yeah, on Twitter.
Tell me about that.
I'm getting messages on Twitter, on Facebook even, where there's more body shaming. I'm being told that I'm doing this for attention. It's politically charged somehow. I'm not really sure how that's possible because I'm not doing this for any reason other than wanting my story out there. She also has her people claiming that it's other than having a right-wing, excuse me, and left-wing situation, it's against Islam. And I'm just trying to defame her name somehow. By saying what
Why would it be
against
Islam? Are you not supposed to speak out as was suggested in that? A woman's not mm-hmm. supposed, is that true?
It's not actually true. I mean, I'm Muslim and these people are Muslim as well. And I've studied Islam. Nowhere in there does it say that you can't say anything.
That you're supposed to stay quiet.
No. And nowhere in there does it say that you have to, you're against the religion if you actually stand up for yourself.
If you stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all watched the Women's March. We heard, you know, all of these different women, Ashley Judd, other women standing on the stage talking about things that had happened to them. Linda Sarsour leading this whole movement, talking mm-hmm. about Donald Trump, saying that he's unfit to be in the White House. And then you go to her and say, hey, this happened to me. Were you shocked with her reaction?
I actually was not shocked with her reaction. Because that is actually how she treated me when I went to her the first time. When I went to her during the actual situation. That's why in the tweet, if you noticed, I did state, this is exactly what happened to me. You guys are just replaying it. You're reenacting it. Telling me that I'm not a good Muslim. This never happened. I'm making up stories. Those are her words during that whole entire ordeal.
Yeah.
So now everybody's just retweeting it. They're just doing the same thing that she did.
So I asked you what you're doing now, and you said that you're not working. And
yeah.
I said, why? And you said, everywhere I try to get a job, she finds me.
Yes, because she did actually tell me at one point that I will never work in New York City ever again for as long as she lives.
Wow. I'm sorry for everything you've gone through. And I know there's a lot of back and forth with these affidavits and everything. But you have your story, and you have laid it out. And you claim that you're 100% telling the truth. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Esme, thank you very much. Good to have you here. I know it's not easy. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
The Balm of Gilead Farm, run by entrepreneur Guy Ehrlich, is reviving the plants which were presented to the infant Jesus to turn them into therapeutic balms and incense, courtesy of Reuters.
Deep in the Judean desert, a local entrepreneur is reviving the plants gifted to baby Jesus in the biblical story, aiming to transform frankincense and myrrh into therapeutic balms and incense.
I'm Reuters reporter Rinat Harash at the Balm of Gilead farm near the Dead Sea. These are branches of frankincense and myrrh that are grown here. According to the Bible, these were two of the gifts brought to baby Jesus by the wise men of the East. A third gift, gold, is believed by some worshippers to be the amber resin of this plant called the balsam of Gilead. All three are cultivated here by an Israeli entrepreneur who hopes to revive their use in medicine and cosmetics. And what do they smell like? I'm gonna tap them for resin here. It's very sticky and it has a very potent piney scent. If it was indeed similar to this, baby Jesus must have been swaddled in heavenly fragrances.
Guy Ehrlich says, according to the Bible, the plants were used in medicine for many years, and he sees cultivating them as a duty.
I see myself as a modern magus. I grow the myrrh and the frankincense, which are the same myrrh and frankincense that the Magi gave Miriam. And I also grow the balm of Gilead that I see and some other terrorists see as the gold from the free presents. It was priceless as gold. It had a golden color.
Some experts believe Ehrlich's plants are likely the same as those used in ancient times. But archaeologists doubt the claim that the balsam of Gilead resin could be identified as the Magi's gold. The businessman says, as well as Christians sampling the scents, pious Jews are keen to recreate the incenses that were burnt in the Roman-era temple in Jerusalem, believing his rare plants, sacred to all religions, can connect and unite people.
In this Celestial Musings, this is so cute. And chances are, if you're a parent, you've had one of these moments. ABC News reports that 5-year-old Tylon Pittman from Byram, Mississippi, decided to call 911 to make sure that the authorities knew that the Grinch was trying to steal Christmas and that they needed to watch for that.
I'm just trying to tell you something. Watch for the Grinch, because the Grinch won't steal Christmas, okay?
Okay, do you have any adults there with you?
Ma'am, I'm sorry. This is my son playing on the phone.
No, it's fine. It's fine. He called in saying that the Grinch was trying to steal his Christmas.
As precious as the child is, and he really is precious, I have to say I really laughed when I heard the father, because boy, have I been there, giving those mortified apologies. You know, kids will be kids, and sometimes you're lucky enough to come across someone else who recognizes that, like this dispatcher, and sometimes, well, you come across a real Grinch. The story gets better, though. Local officer Lauren DeVell showed up at Tylon's house not long after his phone call to reassure him that she would keep the Grinch from stealing any presents this year. But the police department didn't stop there. Byram Police Chief Luke Thompson invited Tylon to tour the police station, and while there, the officers surprised him with the Grinch, arrested in the back of a police car. Tylon got to lead the Grinch into the holding room for questioning, and when he let the Grinch go, the Grinch apologized and assured Tylon that no more would he steal children's Christmas presents. Kudos to the Byram Police Department for letting Tylon Pittman know that even though he's a little guy, he matters, and his concerns will be taken seriously. Would that all 5-year-olds could receive such special consideration. For more news headlines, follow me at my Twitter handle, @CrusadeNewscast. Stay tuned to the Veritas Radio Network for king-sized truth from radio-sized speakers. Coming up next, the Barrett Brief. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel. Serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News, live on your News Talk and Saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on CrusadeChannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.